What is going on, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I am your tour guide, C. Wells, coming at you. We're going to preview week four today. Week three was a very interesting week, not a lot of excitement if you was on the swag side, but still, a week of football has passed, and now another one is upcoming. Four conference games on the slate, including one big, huge game on Thursday, which is our game of the week, Alcorn at UAPB. There's also the State Fair Classic, Grambling and Prairie View. The Gulf Coast Challenge is Alabama A&M and Tuskegee, Jackson State and Delta State, TSU and Rice, Southern and Valley. And we're going to go ahead and throw the schedule up here so you can go ahead and get a glimpse of it. This Bethune-Cookman, Alabama State is also a big matchup, East Division. So we're going to not waste any more time. The socials are down on the screen below. You can check those out. Follow, like, whatever the case may be. Check out the podcast, anchor.fm/swagtalk. Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. If you haven't done so already, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to the page, to the channel. Like videos, hit the notification bell to be alerted to any content that I upload on any day. But I do like to do Sundays and Wednesdays, and then Thursdays, our live show, Swag Smoke, 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check that out tomorrow. Sunday week four recap, and then Monday, going to have a quick recap of the Valley Southern game. So, because that game's on Sunday, so going to recap that and then get ready for week five. So without, you know, too much further ado, man, let's go ahead and jump into this. Our first game on the schedule that we're going to talk about is Jackson State hosting Delta State as a 2 p.m. off in Jackson on the JSU Sports Network. Jackson State comes into this game at 2-1. They just dropped a game against LM 12-7. Our game defense played well, held ULM to 4 field goals. Offense just really couldn't get any points on the board. One of the issues Jackson State is having right now is the run game. They're averaging 45 yards per game on the ground, 1.9 yards per carry. So that's something that's definitely going to have to improve. You don't have to have crazy rushing numbers, but, you know, 46 yards is just not going to do it later in the season. A game like this, I don't expect too much. Delta State is a solid Division II program, but I think Jackson has enough athletes to make it through this game. The passing game has been solid. Shadur is playing really well, not really making a lot of mistakes. He threw his first interception on Saturday. He has 4 touchdowns on the season, 76 of 106. 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, averaging 280 yards per game through the air. Total offense, 327 per game. They're averaging 5.5 yards per play. But right now, where Jackson State is getting it done at is on the defensive side of the ball. They're allowing an average of 11.3 points per game. And they also are allowing 2.4 yards per rush. They allowing 91 yards per game, so under 100 yards, 2.4 yards per rush, all good numbers. Through the air, they haven't had any interceptions yet, but they've only allowed 1 passing touchdown, 53 of 100 for 475 yards. That's an average of 158.3. They are allowing 249 yards per game, 3.5 yards per play, and only 2 touchdowns on the season. So they're doing a really good job on defense. The offensive problems are staying on the field. They're averaging their third down percentage is 29%. And like I said before, that's, you know, in bigger games, that's going to be an issue. So it doesn't matter how talented your team is, if they can't convert third downs, then you're just going to really have a hard time getting anything done. The passing game is working pretty well. Josh Lanier is the leading receiver. Trevante Rucker is also a guy who can make some big plays down the field. And Keith Corbin and Shane Hooks are bigger receivers that can make plays, and Warren Newman is a slot guy, also a big time return guy. He can make some plays. He had 10 catches in the ULM game, so that, you know, he, if you get him involved, then it's gonna cause matchup issues for the defense. But I think Jackson needs to run the ball in this game. They don't need to go run heavy, but I think they need to at least look to run the ball more than they have. That offensive line is going to have to block, and they aren't protecting that well right now either. So they're going to have to jail. They haven't really done it yet. It's going to take some time for that to happen. But with swag play really about to kick off, you know, it's better now than never. So I think the offensive line is who I'm putting the task on this week to make some holes for the running game, because they have capable backs. The running backs are not the problem in this as a whole. The offensive line definitely is going to have to step up. Defensively, you know their names already: Aubrey Miller, Keontae Hampton, Antoine Owens, James Houston. He did get ejected for targeting in the ULM game early, but James Houston, Cameron Craig, Silman Craig, DeJean Warren out there at cornerback. You know, Shiloh Sanders is a guy who can laid a big hit, but he's having some problems wrapping up on tackles against better offenses. That's going to be an issue. Just looking real quick at Delta State, they're averaging, they're 2-1 on the season. They're averaging 39 points per game, and they're allowing 19. They run the ball for 180 yards per game, and they're throwing for 233. They're allowing 116 yards rushing on the season and 237 through the air, giving their opponents a total of 353. They have, they play, like I said, they're a solid program. So there's, you know, a team that's gonna try to make some plays. Patrick Shegog is the quarterback. He's 51 of 75, 578 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Rico Owens is the leading rusher. He has 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Shegog, the quarterback, is the second leading rusher with 159 yards. So they have a dual threat type of quarterback. So that's, you know, something to keep an eye out on. The leading receiver right now is Corinthius Edmonds. He has 12 catches for 96 yards. And Dante Myers, 11 catches for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns. So this, you know, I think this is going to be a game that Jackson State is going to, you know, I don't think they're going to really struggle in this game, but I think they will have some hiccups here and there early in the game, because games like this, sometimes you try to come out and you know, knock the team out the box, and it doesn't go that way right away. But I think Jackson State should win fairly comfortably in this game. I think I'm gonna say they're gonna win. I'm gonna say 38-10. I would not be surprised if the state was able to move the ball a little bit, but I think this defense for Jackson is too much, and I think the offense will be able to get the running game going, and that will help them a lot. I think you can look for a heavy dose of running in this game, and then some passing as needed. I think the run game should be the focus, at least to get it going. I mean, if they can't run in this game, then that's going to be a huge problem moving forward. So I look for runs early, and then, you know, you can spread them out and pass as much as you want. But right now, I'm looking more at the run game. So, like I said, 38-10 is my pick. And we're going to move on to the next game that I want to talk about is Texas Southern at Rice. That's a 5:30 kickoff. That game is being broadcast on the ESPN family of networks. They haven't stated which one, probably ESPN Plus, most likely, or ESPN3. Texas Southern is 0-2 right now. And they got Baylor in their last game. They're averaging 12 points per game. They're allowing 53. You know, right? I thought coming into this season, Texas Southern would be a fact to win a couple games, and that's still possible. They did not look sharp late in the game against Prairie View. They got, you know, beat pretty soundly, and then obviously the Baylor game. So they have some things to work on. Rice is not the best FBS team, but I think they still have a little bit too much for Southern. Texas Southern is going to have to get the offense going. They're averaging 150 yards passing on the season, and they had one passing touchdown, although they don't have any interceptions. They also are running for 127 yards. So they really need to get this offense going. They're averaging 4.1 yards per play. That's, you know, that's average, but they, you know, that's a number that should really improve. They're allowing 8.3 yards per play and over 600 yards of offense. So defensively, they're not really making any plays. And like I said, a lot of that is that Baylor game, but Prairie View had some success as well through the air. So that's going to be a huge issue there, allowing 324 through the air, six touchdowns already on the season for the opponents and one interception. And they also allowing 275 on the ground. So it's kind of like, you know, you do what you want. So I expect Rice to run the ball. They a team that is probably going to want to try to at least establish that. And Rice is obviously, like I said, they're 0-3 right now, so they're not playing very good football. They got beat by Arkansas, and Houston bombed them, and Texas bombed them. They have scored 24 points in three games, so not an explosive offense, to say the least. So their numbers are kind of like skewed, like Texas Southern numbers. They played some bigger teams and just have not done well. They're averaging 121 yards on the ground and 147 through the air. They are averaging 272 on the ground. So Texas Southern, I think you should really try to run the football and see what happens. I mean, I don't expect too much from this game, but, you know, if Texas Southern can get a couple drives early, you know, maybe score a couple touchdowns, I think they'll put themselves at least in a decent position to make some plays. Ja'Cory Howard is going to have to get the job done. And Ladarius Owens, also, they're going to be two guys tasked to carry the ball. Andrew Bodie and Jaylen Brown are the quarterbacks. I think maybe, you know, some people saying go with Body, but he's young. Brown is young. So, you know, you just kind of have to go with which one you think gives you the best opportunity. Keelan Davis, Jyron Johnson, Jonathan Giles are the receivers to look out for Texas Southern. On defense, you can look out for Tariq Cooper, Tim Walton, Andre Gibbs, Michael Batterjoe, Julian Markintel. Those are awesome guys. Ja'Cory Benjamin also some guys to look out for on the Texas Southern defense. But I think Rice be just a bit too much in this game. So I'm going to say Rice 42. Texas Southern 7, and Texas Southern can move on to better fortunes ahead of them. Our next and final non-conference game is Alabama A&M and Tuskegee facing off in the Gulf Coast Challenge in Mobile. That's a 4:00 kickoff. Alabama A&M comes off of a game against Bethune-Cookman where they played fairly well in the first half. Second half, they didn't play as well. Bethune-Cookman was able to get themselves back in the game and ultimately gave themselves the opportunity to win, but they fell short. We pretty much know what Alabama A&M likes to do. They are passing offense, but they can run the football. With a guy like Gary Quarles at running back, he's a threat to run the ball at any time for them. He can catch the ball at the backfield, and they have a plethora. That's one of my favorite words. They have a plethora of receivers that they can go to. And like I said, don't sleep on the running game. They're averaging 330 yards through the air and 133 on the ground. So they're averaging 3.7 yards per rush. But don't sleep on their running game because you will get hit with a lot of draws. And then also they'll use screen passes as extension of the run game. So you really have to be aware of everything that they have. And obviously, you know, Akil Glass, and you know that group of receivers he has, Zabrian Moore, Ibrahim, Brian Jenkins Jr., Odu Hilaire, and now D. Anderson, a bigger guy who can make some plays. They, you know, offensively, they have it. They do what they want, and they're very – very confident in what their offense does, and they're gonna put up points, so you have to match. And right now, that Alabama A&M defense is not playing really well. They're allowing 193 yards on the ground per game, 6 yards per carry, so they are vulnerable to the run. and they're averaging, they're allowing 217 through the air. They do have four interceptions on the season, so they have made some plays when the ball is in the air, but they've been bending and not breaking for the most part of the season. They're allowing 6.7 yards per play on defense. That's a number that's not going to get it done. You really have to chop that number down at least to four to have a solid defensive effort. But right now, Tuskegee is not playing good football at all. I don't expect this to be much of a game. I think if A&M can get that offense rolling early, I think they'll pretty much take care of business in this game and get themselves ready for swag play. Tuskegee has been, you know, they've had a rough go of it this season. They got shut out by Fort Valley in their first game, and they are just not really looking too sharp, not playing Tuskegee type of football right now. And they're 1-2 on the season. Like I said, they got shut out by Fort Valley State. They lost to Miles 33-7, and then they beat Edward Waters this weekend 23-6. So they have not really done well against teams that are comparable to them talent-wise, and they are going to have a tough task in this game. But I think A&M is going to roll. I do think Tuskegee will be able to score some points because A&M's defense has been unable to stop anybody right now. So I really think that that's going to still be a factor in this game. So I'm going to say A&M 45, and I'm going to give Tuskegee 17. I think they'll get a touchdown early and maybe a couple of garbage time scores. But I think A&M's offense is going to take care of business. And I think, you know, they're going to move on and get ready for swag play. Next up is a big East Division game. And it's not really a game for the top of the division, but it's a game that Bethune-Cookman obviously cannot really drop. Alabama State, this is their first conference game of the season. So you don't really want to start off 0-1. But if you're Bethune-Cookman, you don't want to be 0-2 either. So this is a huge game for the East Division because that gap between 3 and 4 is going to maybe huge. So you want to keep yourself in the race and give yourself opportunity with late season rivalry games coming up. So Bethune-Cookman at Alabama State, 5 o'clock kickoff, ESPN Plus broadcast. Should be a very physical game. I think this game will be a hard-hitting game. Both teams are really strong on defense. They really get after you. We know Alabama State's defense is extremely physical. Bethune-Cookman is a strap it up and hit them type of team, but they've played three tough games to start the season, and they did have a good opportunity against UTEP, and then they had an opportunity late against Alabama A&M, just couldn't get that final play to get themselves in either field goal position or to score a winning touchdown. But they've made some plays and they've looked, you know, up and down, but they're averaging 23 points per game on the season. They're allowing 43. And obviously a lot of that is because of the UCF game. And they, you know, they've given up a lot of, you know, they've given up a lot of points, but they play well also in spurts. They're averaging 95 yards per game on the ground. I expect that number to go up as the season continues. They're allowing 234. So if you're Alabama State, I think you really want to still try to run the football. I don't know what happened with Ezra Gray, why he didn't play in the Auburn game. That's a guy who I know has to be on the field. I think you really need to get him going. He needs to be on the field. He needs to play, and he needs to be a factor in everything they do because he's an explosive guy, and he's a guy that can take it to the house anywhere. And that's in the kick game and the run game. But getting back to Bethune-Cookman, like I said, they're throwing the ball pretty well this year as well. Shannon Patrick, quarterback, he does have 4 interceptions on the season, so that's kind of an issue. That was an issue that plagued him a little bit at Pine Bluff as well. But he 61 of 104 on the season for 691 yards, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 230 yards per game. Bethune-Cookman is averaging 326 on the season per game, 5.8 yards per play. The opponents are averaging 500 yards, 6.5 yards per play. again, like I said, a lot of those numbers are kind of skewed, but you know, it is what it, I mean, that's what the numbers are. 39% third down conversion rate for Bethune-Cookman, 43 for the opponents. Those numbers aren't that great either way. Quishon Byrd is their leading rusher. He's a guy who had a tremendous game against Alabama A&M. He's averaging 84 yards per game. He has 3 touchdowns on the season, so he's definitely going to be a factor. Aaron Thompson, also a guy, he's the second leading rusher. He's averaging about 8 yards per game. So Byrd is the guy. He's getting the bulk of the carries, and he's making all the plays on the ground. He had a couple of huge touchdowns against Alabama A&M, so I expect him to really tote the ball in this game. Shannon Patrick, like I said, he's completing 58% of his passes in this season so far, with 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He had a couple costly interceptions in the he had 1 costly interception in the first half against Alabama A&M, and then 1 at the end of the game. So he kind of bookended his start with interceptions. And in the middle, he was steady. He got slow getting going, but he got going late, and he was able to take care of the ball in the key portions of the game. Marcus Riley is the leading receiver. He's averaging 57 yards per game. Kimari Everett is a big tight end. I expect to see him get involved in this game against the Alabama State defense that's pretty aggressive. You know, you want to get your tight end involved, especially if you have a good pass catcher. He's averaging 56 yards per game and 2 touchdowns. Ontario John is one of their key defenders. He's actually their leading tackle to Kevin Thomas, Caleb Sutherland, and Urah Ratliff are a couple other names to look out for on the defense. As far as Alabama State goes, they have been a mixed bag this year. They had a close game against Miles, 14-13. Then they got blowed out by Auburn, 62-0. So it's, you know, they're not a lot to really take from them statistically, because they played an FBS game and a D2 game. The D2 game was close. They didn't put up a lot of numbers offensively. The off the Auburn game, they played well on defense in the first quarter. Then they kind of gave out. But they don't really have a lot to really look at numbers-wise. So I think Ryan Nettles is going to definitely have to be a factor in this game at quarterback. He's been inconsistent in both games. They have to get the passing game going. Jeremiah Hicks is one of their key receivers. Like I said, Ezra Gray, if he's able to play, is a huge impact guy on their offense. Ja'Cory Merritt also. I think that defense obviously is going to be the factor, you know, led by Christian Clark in the middle of that defense. I think Bubba Adams has been injured. I don't know if he's still out. I had to check and see. But Urshad Davis is a big-time guy at safety. And they Natron Culpepper as well. They have some players on defense, and they're going to get out there, and they're going to get after you. And they are physical, so I expect them to match that intensity. But their offensive production is going to be the factor. Like I said, they haven't had a good offensive game at all this season in their 2 games. So if they want to get the W in this game, the offense has to show up. Defensively, they can hold Bethune-Cookman, but I really think that this is going to be a game that's won by whoever can run the ball the best. I think Bethune-Cookman has been running the ball decently the last week. So I think I'm leaning more with Bethune-Cookman, because I think they're a more solid, steady team. Yes, they're 0-3, but I think they're starting to find their form. Alabama State right now is still not there yet. So I'm going to go with Bethune-Cookman. I'm going in a low score, well, in a mid-20s type of game, I'm going to say 24-21 Bethune-Cookman. I think it's going to come down to a late score. Maybe Alabama State has the lead late, but Bethune-Cookman scores to seal it. But I think it's going to be a very exciting game. I think this is a game that if you can catch it, I think you should check it out, because I think these two teams have the ability to be a factor in the division. But the team that loses this game is definitely going to be in a tough spot, especially if Bethune-Cookman loses. They'll be 0-2. And that's a tough hole to climb out of. The next game I want to talk about on Sunday, Southern goes to Jackson to take on Mississippi Valley. That's a 2:00 kickoff ESPN Plus broadcast. Southern comes in off of a frustratingly heartbreaking whatever you want to call it, to match, where it led 21-10 and lost 31-24. Southern is Southern. You know, they're going to run the football. They're going to, you know, they're going to make plays on the ground. They're going to spread you out. They're going to run some option concepts. And they're going to mash you with their defense, with their offensive line. And defensively, they're going to try to get after you and get after your quarterback and stop your passing game and try to slow down your run game. But Southern right now, they're averaging 184 yards on the ground, which I think is second in the conference right now. They're averaging 5.1 yards per carry. The offensive line is opening up holes the last 2 weeks. Even in the second half when they stymied, they still had some positive runs. Southern's problem is when they go to the air, they're averaging 151 yards on the season. They have 5 interceptions on the season. A huge interception against McNeese really hurt them. And they have four touchdowns on the season, averaging 6.1 yards per play and 335 yards per game on total offense. Defensively, they're averaging 165 yards on the ground. That number is starting to kind of come down a bit. McNeese found some things against Southern late as the defense started to wear down a bit. They're allowing 3.9 yards per rush. So they're doing a good job of making plays. They had some tackling issues against Miles. They seem to have cleaned those up against McNeese. So they are doing a bit better on the run game. Defensively, against the pass, they're allowing 211 yards per game. 49-78 for the opponents, 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. They are allowing 376 on the season total offense. And like I said, that's buoyed by that Troy game where Troy just really mashed them. But Southern is, like I said, Southern is Southern. They're going to do what they do. They're going to run the football. Devon Ben is out for the first half due to a targeting penalty at running back. So Craig Nelson will start. They have a few other younger guys who are going to play behind him. And obviously, Skelton is a threat to run the football. So the running game for Southern should be fine in the first half until Ben comes in. Ben is more of a sledgehammer type guy anyway. And he'll be able to pound Valley in the second half if Southern is in the lead. Southern is 38% third down completion rate, 54% for the opponents. I guess you can say, if Skelton plays, you know what they're going to do. I like Bubba McDaniel. I think he's a guy who can run the ball pretty well. He's not a Skelton type of runner, but he can run the ball pretty well. And he's a better passer to me overall than Skelton, but he's younger and he makes some mistakes as well. But Southern has to lean on the tight ends. Ethan Howard and Travis Tucker, those are two guys at tight end who can make some plays for you. And, you know, they have receivers. They're going to probably try to get the ball out of them in space. The backs will be focused on in the pass game as well. So they're going to give Valley a lot to look for, a lot of misdirection. And they're going to try to run it right at Valley. So I think they'll be successful with that this season. Valley is playing. They've been blown out in their 2 games. But their one bright spot this year is Caleb Johnson at running back. He's an all-swag type of back. So he's going to be a guy that's – Southern is going to have to focus on him because Valley doesn't really have a lot of other weapons. So they're going to try to, you know, get him the ball as much as they can. And defensively, Valley's going to be aggressive against the run, but it's up to Southern to wear them down. And Valley's lost 2 games pretty badly in 2 different ways. Murray State ran the ball over them for 300-plus yards. Stephen F. Austin passed the ball over them for 300-plus yards. So it's kind of like, you know, week by week, you don't know what Valley's going to give you. But Valley is going to hang around in this game for a while. I think Southern is the type of team that they can have some lulls. And if they have lulls in this game, Valley's going to be able to hang around. But I think the depth of Southern and Southern's running game will start to kick in the second half and they'll win this game. And I think it's going to be a game that looks closer than probably what it is. I think it's going to be like 34-14. It may be a little bit close to halftime, but I think Southern will pull away late. And it won't be a comfortable win if you're a Jaguar fan. I don't think you're going to be able to go to Mississippi Veteran Memorial Stadium and just relax. But I think you will be coming home with a W. Valley's going to beat somebody at some point, but they really have some things to work out on their team as a whole, offensively, defensively. They need to get some things going, but they will be dangerous in the future, but not right now. The next game I want to speak on is Prairie View and Grambling in the State Fair Classic in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl, 4 o'clock kickoff. Two teams going in two different directions. Prairie View is up and down, right? But they have some explosiveness at quarterback. Juwan Pass is playing in the wins. He's playing very well in the loss. He played, he made some mistakes. The team is averaging 299 per game rushing, 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. You know, they threw a ton of turnovers against Incarnate Word, which did them in. The running game has been pretty solid, 140 yards per game, 3.6 yards per rush. The defense is playing really well. They're allowing 110 yards per game on the ground and 185 through the air. They're a defensive unit that's not getting talked about a lot by anybody, and I think people really need to pay attention to what they're doing on defense. 295 per game on defense, 4 yards per play. They are making some great plays on defense. And offensively, a guy like Juwan Pass, he's big. He can stand in the pocket. He can throw the ball. He can scramble. And his issue has been turnovers at Louisville. He fumbled a lot, and those are issues that can plague him. He fumbles because he tries to do too much sometimes, and he turns the ball over. So Prairie View is going to definitely have to stay focused in this game. You don't want to give Grambling any easy opportunities. You want to make them work for everything that they have. Like I said, Christian Mosley is a guy who you can look out for on the ground for Prairie View. He's averaging 47 yards per game. Also, LaDainian Brooks. And Juwan Pass is a guy that can run the ball as well. Antonio Mullins and Jalen Howard are the two big threats at receiver. Antonio Mullins is a guy who's really playing well. He's averaging 82 yards per game. He has 20 catches and 2 touchdowns. Howard is averaging 74 yards per game with 2 touchdowns and 27.8 yards per catch. So he's definitely making plays deep down the field. He's a deep threat, and those two guys are really working well together. And defensively, Jason Dumas is the guy to look out for in the middle of that defense. Trayshawn Smith at linebacker, Drake Cheatham, and Darius Campbell are guys to also look out for. This team is playing, you know, this is a team that could be one of the better teams in the division. This game, they really need to take care of business in this game. And don't lose focus because Grambling, like I said, they're not playing well right now. They had 2 FBS games in the last 2 weeks. They didn't score any points in either of the 2 games. And the passing game going all the way back to the Tennessee State game is anemic, to say the least. The offense as a whole right now is still not good. They're averaging 142 yards per game, total offense, 2.7 yards per play. 2.3 yards per rush, 81 yards per game rushing, 60 yards per game through the air, 25 of 55, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Those numbers are horrendous. I don't think they're going to go up at some point in the season, but I don't think they're going to improve that much for them to win against Prairie View. They're converting 22% of their third downs, allowing 41% completion rate. 188 yards per game on the ground by the opponents, 175 through the air, 363 total offense allowed. Grambling is, you know, that right now they're not playing very good football. They're not looking sharp. Their passing game has definitely got to step up. Oh, man, I thought I had a sneeze. The passing game is definitely going to have to step up. Elijah Walker, Alden Clark, whoever is the guy that plays at quarterback, is going to have to start to make some plays through the air. And the running game is going to have to take care of some business, because they have solid backs, man. Keelon Elder, CJ Russell, Daquez Breton, those are guys who can run the ball for you. They have to get going. And this is going to be a tough game to get going in, because Prairie View defense is very good, and they're going to give Grambling fits all night. I think this game, this series, the last few years has been close. Most games have been close. I think the last three or four games have been close, but I don't think this one will, because I just don't see Grambling's offense being a factor in this game. They're struggling too much, and Prairie View defense, I think, is really good, and they're going to give Grambling problems, and Grambling defense is going to struggle with Prairie View's offense. I expect a good Juwan pass to show up in this game, and those receivers are going to make some plays. The running game is going to click for them, and I think they'll take care of Grambling. I'm going to say 37-7. I think Grambling will score. I don't think they're going to do much. I mean, I really hate to predict that against Grambling, because I think Grambling has the opportunity and ability to be better than what they are right now. Those two FBS games back-to-back definitely did not help with the offensive struggles that they've had at the start of the season. So, you know, Grambling's been a notoriously slow-starting team the last few years. So, don't sleep on Grambling now. Don't bury them yet. But, you know, you can start to dig the hole. Prairie View might dig it a little deeper. But I think Grambling will have better days ahead, but just not in this game. Our final game of the day that we want to talk about is actually taking place tomorrow. It's my game of the week. It's pretty much everybody's game of the week who has been doing any kind of predictions, and that's UAPB hosting Alcorn. Most years this would be cross division matchup, but now this is a West Division matchup, and it is big because with Prairie View coming on strong, and they have an opportunity to be 2-0 in conference if they beat Grambling. This is Pine Bluff and Alcorn's first conference game. You know, you want to keep pace with Prairie View, and knowing that both teams still have to face Southern, and they both still have to play Prairie View. And I wouldn't count out Grambling late in the season being a spoiler. So they still have a lot of football ahead of them. Like I said, this is both teams' first conference game. You don't want to fall too far behind, because Prairie View's setting the pace right now, so you want to keep up with them, and you want to keep some momentum going. Both teams came off of tough losses. Alcorn 28-21 to South Alabama, and 45-38, I believe it was. UAPB lost to Central Arkansas. They fell behind in that game and fought back. Alcorn kind of fall back in that game as well. Now, Alcorn's not looking like Alcorn that we have known for the last few years. They're not really running the ball well, 114 yards per game, 3.3 yards per carry. Last game, Nico Duffy, who the starting back, ran for 9 yards on 9 carries. That's, I don't care who you're playing, that's unacceptable. That's a number that just has to improve. And I know they can run the football. Stafford Anderson's another guy who had a big game against North Carolina Central. You know, they have backs. Their offensive line is going to have to help them out. The passing game is starting to round into form. Felix Harper is looking like the trigger man, as everybody knows he is. They're averaging 207 through the air, 50 of 83, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 207 yards per game passing, giving them a total of 322 on the season, 5.1 yards per play. Defensively, they're struggling against the run, and that's not Alcorn. Like, Alcorn is a team who's always been pretty stout on both lines and physical, and they are not really getting it done right there in this portion of the season. So I think that's a focus for Alcorn. Is to the key for Alcorn to me is going to be both lines. They're going to have to win at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. The running game has to get going. Nico Duffy has to be able to do some things. He's averaging 4 yards per carry right now, 46 yards per game. Stafford Anderson had a big game against North Carolina Central, but he hasn't played. He didn't play in the last two games, so I don't know if he's injured or what's the deal. But if he's available, then that's a guy that they really also need to look at. Javonte Wood, it would probably be the second guy if Anderson can't go. Like I said, Felix Harper is the trigger man. He's gonna get the ball out to the receivers of Charles Pringle, C.J. Bolton, Juan Anthony, Manny Jones, Tim McNair, Akeem McNair. There's tons of guys out there that can make plays through the air. Alcorn is going to have to run the ball to win this game. Just to really keep Pine Bluff honest, and I really think that Pine Bluff is going to be able to do some things because they have a bit more balanced attack than last year. Skylar Perry is still kind of doing a little bit too much, so the running game is going to definitely have to help him. But right now they're leading the SWAC in rushing with over 200 yards per game. They're the only team right now averaging over 200 yards per game, 205 on the season. The bulk of that did come against Lane, but they can, you know, they have some backs that they can get it done this year. Last year in the spring, the running game was anemic outside of Skylar Perry. The backs really didn't do too much, but this year they're running it better. The passing game is still hit or miss. They're 31-65 on the season, one touchdown, one interception. 181 yards per game, 5.6 yards per play on offense as a whole, and 386 per game. The defense is allowing 383 and 5.5 yards per play, so that's pretty even. They're getting gashed through the air right now. Through two games, they're allowing 309 through the air, six touchdowns. They do have three interceptions, but they are getting hit through the air pretty bad, 73 yards allowed on the ground. So I don't know if that's the case of teams being able to throw more because they can't run it, or if their pass defense is just not that good, which is would be a shock to me because they have a strong secondary and some key guys on the defensive line who can make some plays for you. They do have six sacks on the season, so they are getting tremendous pressure on the quarterback in both games that they played. 30% third down conversion for Pine Bluff. And 51% for the opponents. That's the issue. They can't stay on the field. They can't get off the field. And that's going to have to change if you want to win this game. The running backs are going to have to be a factor in this game. Kiara Crossley and Kayvon Britton, they are going to have to be two guys to really get it done and help Skylar Perry out in the running game. The receivers are DeJuan Miller, Josh Wilkes. Trey Harrell's a guy who can also get out there. Dawkins and Britton has been a factor out of the backfield, and you can't count out Tyrann Ralph, who's a return guy, big time return guy, and a guy that can make some plays in the passing game. Monroe Beard has been the leader on his defense as far as statistics goes. Marcus Askew, Jalen Thigpen is an anchor in that secondary. Akins, Kobe Watts, Isaac Peppers, Paul Reeves, those are all guys who are going to have to step up and make some plays in this game to keep off Alcorn unbalanced. You want to make Alcorn one-dimensional, you got a better chance of beating them. If they can run the ball and then Felix Harper can throw the ball, then you're really going to have some problems. The last time in the fall, the last time that Pine Bluff had a game like this against a team who was a division contender at home, it was 2019 against Southern. And obviously they beat Southern in 2020, but the spring was such an anomaly that it didn't you really can't make heads or tails. But in the fall of 2019, they had a game like this against Southern. It was a big matchup in the division early in the season. Southern came kind of reeling. Pine Bluff was playing a lot better than they were at this point that year, but they were coming in playing fairly well. Southern was coming in kind of wounded. And the game seemed a little bit too big for Pine Bluff in that game, and they turned the ball over like five times and lost. I want to see if this game is going to be too big for them because this is going to be a big atmosphere Thursday night. Like I said, ESPNU broadcast 6:30 p.m. kickoff. So it's a national televised game. It's, you know, one of the only games on TV that night, the only SWAC game of the night. And this game has huge implications. I hate to say that. I don't like to say that for an early season game, but this has huge implications. Can Pine Bluff handle the weight of that? You know, they made it through the spring, but this is the fall, and it's a different beast. Alcorn still has a lot to prove. People, you know, still don't believe in Alcorn right now. They're kind of not really what they usually are, but the potential is still there. The loser of this game is going to have some problems. They're not going to be out of the race, but you're going to be one step behind already. If it's all coin and they lose, the questions start to fly even more and the doubt starts to creep in more about their team. You know, where they, you know, is their run over if they lose this game? Pine Bluff, a win can, you know, skyrocket them. They picked fifth in the division by the media. They got a chance to prove and make a statement. But I'm going with Alcorn in this game because I think Felix Harper is the kind of guy that if he's on, he's going to help his team going. And I think Nico Duffy is going to have a big game in this game. I think the running game and the passing game are going to kind of click for Alcorn, and the defense is going to be able to make enough stops to get them a W. Because I think that third down conversion rate of Pine Bluff on both sides is going to factor into this game. So I'm going to say Alcorn 31, Pine Bluff 27. Should be an entertaining game, but I think it's going to go for the Braves. And that's my game of the week. And I'm up out of here, man. This has been a long show. Covered all the games, lots of games this weekend, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be hopefully in Jackson on Sunday for the Southern game. So if you see me, holla. You know, if anybody else is going to a game, let me know in the comments, you know, where you're going. And, give me some thoughts on who you think going to win these games. So with that being said, I'm C. Wells. I'm going to sign up, and I'm out of here.